You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. A good Saturday to look forward to as well, with good racing at both Newbury and Warwick over the obstacles. We have all weather racing on the poly track at Lingfield domestically as well. There's a good card in Gorham Park, a few graded races there, and an evening of all weather action on the Tapita at Wolverhampton. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio with Darren Owen, Paddy Aspel and Ollie Pimlott in the studio from 12:50pm. But right now, my name is Mark Walton. And I'm joined in the studio by Paddy Aspel. How are you, Paddy?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Not a bad weekend of racing, really, is it?
Nope.
The stuff at Newbury is particularly good, and Warwick as well. Good jumping.
Yeah, good jumping. Newbury, looking through it, the Denman chase for Grade 2 is slightly disappointing. More so just because the majority of runners are out of form. But apart from that, no. 22 runners in the Betfair hurdle. We've got Dodging Bullets making his comeback, takes on Lammy Surge. Really looking forward to it. Some good, real good stuff.
Yeah, I think Demon's actually going to be at Newbury as well, isn't he, on Saturday? I think he's going to parade before the race.
So. Oh, is he really?
I think so, yeah.
Very good.
Good to see the old boy back.
Yeah.
We'll talk about a few news stories before we get stuck into Saturday's racing, though. And we'll start with Annie Power, who has been entered for Punchestown on Wednesday. And apparently, if she were to make it to the race, they would consider a tilt at the World Hurdle, but it's looking unlikely.
Yeah, I did hear an interview with Ruby Walsh the other day, and he did say they were very, very happy with her. Said she was in proper good order. So maybe, obviously, just fitness wise, she's not where they want her. But be very, very interesting to see her back. And I think Willie has really he's really minded her and looked after her, and and fully deserved it. It'd be very exciting to see her back, even if it isn't next week. But she obviously mustn't be far off.
Yeah, I think the impression I get is that if they could have got a run into, they were probably have aimed World Hurdle, but to go their first race of the season would be asking quite a lot. So it looks likely to be the Mayor's Hurdle.
Yeah.
She's got unfinished business in the Mayor's Hurdle, really, as well, hasn't she?
Oh, big time, yeah, big time. It was so disappointing. But I think, look, probably at the back of it, we're still lucky to have her, because it was a horrendous fall. It was just one of them things, but Willie's nursed her back and she's a fantastic mare, and just to see her again, and be interesting to see how much ability she retains. But if she can run to 85% of her ability, we've still got a very, very good mare on our hands.
Yeah, it'll be good to see her back. She's one of the more exciting mares around. Bit of news about more of that as well with regards to the festival. The original plan was to run him at Newbury on Saturday, but the testing going has put paid to that, really, and straight to the festival by the looks of things.
Yeah, brave shout, but I mean, obviously, I think it's been a case for a lot of trainers this year that their hand is going to be forced slightly. I think we're going to have quite a few horses turning up fresh to the festival simply because the hand has been forced ground wise.
Yeah. A bit of other news away from the Cheltenham Festival surrounding Good Friday. We obviously have the All Weather Championships at Lingfield on Good Friday. There's discussion about possibly having more meetings. Do you think that'd be a good thing?
I wouldn't be keen, to be honest. I think people have sort of started to... It just sits okay with people now, because I think the Good Friday thing was a bit of a no-no there for a long time when it was mentioned. But I think because we've got such high quality, such good money on offer, and then obviously we've got the build-up throughout the winter with all the fast-track qualifiers. By the time Good Friday comes around, people do enjoy it, and I've certainly enjoyed it. I wouldn't like to see any more, because especially if it's only average fare, it's just maybe diluting the whole job down, really. So in my own opinion, I'd prefer to see it stay as it is.
Okay, a bit of news about a few jockeys as well before we get stuck into Saturday. Harry Bentley's going to ride for Roger Very next year.
I see that, yeah. He's got a retainer himself, hasn't he?
Yeah, with Sheikh Mohammed bin Khalifa Al Thani.
But yeah, I mean, obviously the Roger Very in yard got a very, very large string of horses now, so between him and Andrea, it's it's going to take a bit of sorting out. There were plenty of horses to run, and I think he's, I'm not sure if he is the biggest string in Newmarket. I think he possibly is, but he's got a hell of a lot of horses. He's got a very good apprentice there as well, a lad I knew from a time at Rogers last year, Cameron Noble. Very, very good rider. He's got very low miles on under his belt, but Rogers tried to give him a few spins during the winter. I'm pretty sure he has ridden a winner, but he's very, very capable.
One for the for the future.
Yeah, he's very talented.
All right, one jockey we know plenty about who there's been talk about him retiring. Paul Carberry's obviously broken his leg again, the same leg.
Yeah,
he's saying he's not going to retire, which is, I'd like to see him again.
Oh, definitely, and I think when he got picked up the injury initially, I think there was a lot of talk as well, wasn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, I read that article too. It said that rumours are pretty strong that he was going to retire after re-breaking the leg again. But I mean, actually, in that picture on the Racing Post, he does actually look. He looks. I won't say old, but I mean, it's hard to believe what age he is.
Yeah.
You know, because he still seems to be as crazy and as out there as he's always been. He's always been different, hasn't he? But, you know, jump jockeys as far as they go. And probably Paul Carberry in particular has had a hell of a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
But no, he definitely, he made no bones about it. He ruled out any retirement plans, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, even before he re-injured his leg, they were saying he'd come back for Cheltenham and the Spring Festivals, and that might be the last time we see him anyway. But I suppose people put two and two together then and thought, well, if he's injured again, possibly that'll be the end of it. But doesn't seem to be the case. And what about yourself, Paddy? Are you any closer to a return to the saddle?
It's a bit of a how long's a piece of rope. I'm not really sort of getting the answers I want to hear, but the thing is, I have applied for my licence before and I haven't got it, so I just need to be a bit careful when I apply again, because these things can just sort of tend to, you know, the anchor can go a bit deeper, if you know what I mean, as regards applications. If you do apply too many times, they tend to make it that little bit more difficult. But look, we're working towards it. I'd be back tomorrow if I could, because I really do miss it. But I'll just have to sit tight and do as I'm told.
Alright, all the best with that then. And anything else you want to add before we move on to Saturday?
No, we're just saying about the beforehand about Barry Geraghty and Blazer.
Yeah,
I mean, he's getting down to his yearly minimum weight tomorrow, so he's only got one ride today. I'd imagine he didn't want to have too busy a day, because like 10-4 is obviously his lightest. He's a very big man, and I just checked in his rides there, 10-4 is the lightest he's done in the last 12 months, and he's doing that again tomorrow. I'm pretty sure McManus has got 6 in the Betfair hurdle.
Including the front two in the betting. So
yeah,
and would have been a difficult choice, I suppose.
I was in studio when Blazer won the other day, and I made a comment that, you know, the horse was still pulling that hard after he jumped the last. It didn't look like Barry Geraghty in a finish, because he was lugging left onto the fence a bit, but, you know, he just looked to have so much in hand. But at the same time, we've got to remember he's ran round Leopardstown in heavy ground in a very highly competitive race a week ago. So theoretically, although he's £7 well in, it's a brave shout. But look, you know, they're serious big operators who are making this decision, so them boys will know.
Yeah, I think there's 5 in the race at the moment.
You've got 5?
Yeah, right. But still plenty to choose from.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's leave that there. Let's get stuck into Saturday's racing in a little bit more detail. We'll get Paddy's thoughts in 4 races at Newbury on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, 4 races at Newbury as promised. We start in the 150, and this one is a Class 2 handicap hurdle. It's over 3 miles. We've got 8 of them in the lineup. At the time of recording this, the betting is as follows. Sykes is 100-30, 7-2 for Zero Shades of Grey, 11-2 for Milanese Boy, Keltis is 6-1, as is Argo Cat, 7-1 for Batavia, 11s for Count Guido Dero, and 14-1 for Gevry Chambaton. How do you see it going, Paddy?
There was 3 I did look at. The one I ended up with was Zero Shades of Grey, Mark. Probably mainly because the majority of his form is around galloping tracks. Loves Doncaster. And this horse, for a 7-year-old, he's been fairly busily campaigned, but very, very consistent. Neil King's done a great job on this horse, but certainly likes galloping tracks. But I mean, he's up to a mark of 143 now, but he'll go on the ground. I'm pretty sure he will like Newbury. And although with the David Pipehorse at the top, he's kept the weights, I think after the top horse in Zero Shades of Grey, the next one in the weights, you know, there's a drop of nearly 10 pounds down to the Nichols horse, Celtus. So, you know, I'm pretty sure Paul Nichols would have been very relieved that the David Pipehorse stopped in, but it would be a great weight carrying performance by the Neil King horse. But probably out of the few that I consider, Malanisi Bay and Sykes. Sykes' form, I thought, was reasonable, and he's in there off a lovely low weight. The Hobbs team are in great order, and Dickie rides him, but I just wasn't as convinced that maybe ability-wise, even with just 10-7 on his back, he had the ability to win a race like this. But it gives me confidence when I see that Neil King is prepared to run his horse with 11-11. And although Trevor Whelan is a stable jockey, I'm pretty sure if he wasn't that confident, you'd have thought he would have claimed off this horse in such a highly competitive race, and it's a good pot. But obviously Trevor knows the horse well, but it's a lot of weight to carry. And he would be my selection, Mark.
Zero Shades of Grey, the selection for Paddy in the 150 at Newbury. Then moving on to the 225 at Newbury next. This is the Denman Chase, grade 2 over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. Field of 7 for this one. Rocky Creek is 13-8, 9-4 Ballinagore, Hooblonder's Elbow is 7-2, 12s for the Giant Bolster, and 14-1 are bigger prices for the others. Only 3 of them really considered in the betting there, Paddy. Who would you side with in this one?
Like I mentioned earlier, not a disappointed turnout, but just recent form we're lacking. We've got horses that really probably aren't in form. I mean, Rocky Creek, it was a poor run last time with headgear on, but he has got coarse form. And I mean, ratings-wise, there's only a pound between him and the pipey horse, Ballinagore, 158 and 159, but yeah, it's just a disappointing race all round. It's hard, really. I wasn't that convinced. Ballinagore, they've gone with the headgear again, hood and tongue strap, but probably on a percentage call, he's got more better runs with the headgear left off than what he has with it on. But he was an impressive winner in Auteuil. They have had some good days out with this horse, but he's a Cheltenham Festival winner as well. But like I alluded to in the other studio earlier about the David Pipe form, yard form, it's up and down, it's in and out, it's hard to be confident. But probably the one for me, and I think he'll be at a price, I'm not sure what price he is, Mark, but Bob Ford
is 14-1.
Yeah, big price, simply because I'm finding it hard. I don't like Rocky Creek. You've got to forgive him, a very poor run last time. And like I said, although he does like Newbury, there was plenty of holes there for me to pick. Ballinagore has also disappointed last time out, but if he came back to form, he's a very, very good horse. He was running real well at the Punchestown Festival as well when he tipped up. But yeah, I was going to go Bob Ford. Mark wise, he is a good bit below these 1-4-2, but was running okay in the Welsh National last time out. Loves Foss Lass and Chepstow, loves grueling conditions. It's going to be hard work there tomorrow, but same thing again for him. He's got to bounce back, obviously, from that fall. The stable have been same thing, little bit stop-start, but very, very capable yard and can always turn up and win a good one on a Saturday. And at a price, I was going to take a risk. Bob Ford.
Taking a bit of a chance on Bob Ford then in the Denman Chase. If you look through the past winners of this race, you've got several Gold Cup winners in there. Coney Gree, Sylvaniaco, Conti hasn't won a Gold Cup, but has run in a number of them. Long Run, Denman, Corto Star.
Yeah,
there's nothing really of that calibre in this.
There's
this
not. No, as far as Grade Two goes, it's probably not the best Saturday Grade Two you'll ever see. Hmm. But anyway, that's what we've got.
Yeah, might get a bit of a value on one at a price in that case. Let's get stuck into the 3 o'clock at Newbury next. This is the Betfair Exchange Chase, is what it's called now. It was the Game Spirit Chase, Grade 2 over 2 miles. The reappearance of last year's champion chase winner Dodging Bullets, who's 4-6 at the top of the market, 9-2 for Top Gamble. Lammy Surge is 5-1, 11-2 for Captain Conan, and 66-1 for Unboro Man. Interesting race with the reappearance of Dodging Bullets. Kerry Lee's saying that she's hoping for another big Saturday winner in the shape of Top Gamble. Lammy Surge can't be ruled out either. It's an interesting little race.
It is. Top Gamble certainly can't be. He's no back number. Probably because of I won't say connections involved because Kerry Lee's had a real good start to her training career, but you know, certainly wouldn't want to undermine this horse because very, very consistent. You know, he's finishing the money 10 out of his 15 runs. He's a Grade 2 novice chase winner up at the Scottish National meeting in Ayr last year. Very, very impressive. Like, literally, you know, he kicked the opposition out of the way that day. He's a good horse on his feet, and you know, obviously he's got a big task on his plate tomorrow, but he's no back number. But I really couldn't get away from, and I was so impressed with his price, Mark, was Lammy Surge. Because, you know, Dodging Bullets, the Queen Mother winner of last year, we've not seen him since. So there's always, you know, well, obviously there's been something. You don't know how big or how small it is, but Paul Nicholls has said that it's probably now his strongest chance at the Cheltenham meeting. But very, very good horse. Pretty sure this is the horse that was bred by Frankie Dettori, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Dodging Bullets.
Yeah.
But yeah, very, very good animal. But look, we've not seen him since last March. And at that price, taking on an unexposed horse of Lammy Surge. And I just couldn't believe the price of Lammy Surge, 5-1. I mean, this horse, I'm pretty sure he's run 6 times. He's only been beaten once in the Supreme Novices last year when he was very badly hampered. Ended up only finishing 10 lengths behind Duvan. You know, and it was a hell of a good run because he was nearly brought down at one stage. And that's the only time he's tasted defeat, this horse. He's 2-2 over fences. Keeps it simple. Goes from the front. Jumped like an absolute bunny at Wetherby the last. I was so impressed with him. He was so good on his feet. He'd go on the ground. I just think, you know, if you had the prices in front of me and Lammy Surge was 4-6 and Dodging Bullets was 9-2, 5-1, that would look a little bit better to me because we've got to take fitness on trust, his well-being on trust. I just think the price is it's far too skinny for me and Lammy Surge, and just with the way connections have campaigned his horse and how good he's looked on his feet, I think he's whopping value at that price for me, Mark.
Yeah, good value then in Lammy Surge in what used to be the Game Spirit. And we finish off in the 3:35 at Newbury. This is the Betfair Hurdle, a Grade 3 handicap over 2 miles, 22 runners to go to post here, and Blazer is the 7-2 market leader, the choice of Barry Geraghty. Modus is 13-2, 7-1 for War Sound. Stern Rubin 8s, 10s for Affair d'Honneur. Di Cosimo is 14-1 and 16s or bigger for the others. We've kind of already talked about JP McManus having plenty in here. The fact that Barry Geraghty is getting down to 10-4 to ride Blazer, conditions aren't a problem to him. Has he got a good chance? Do you think he should be this much shorter than the rest of the field?
What price is he, Mark?
7-2.
7-2. Yeah, look, it's short enough probably for what we've got on offer. You know, 22 runners, very, very competitive. I mean, the Hobbsy horse is going for a 4-timer. Stern Rubin with Dickie on, and he's obviously got War Sound as well. Hobbsy and like Kieran Gethin's, very, very big ride for him. He's, you know, he's not a chap who gets that many rides, but he's been with the Hobbs team since he was 16, so I'm sure it would mean a hell of a lot to the kid to ride the winner of this race. And he's 3-4 on this horse, War Sound. You know, won the Swinton last year, and you know, with Kieran's £5 off its back, it could prove vital, but it is ultra, ultra competitive. But you know, he's a hardened horse. You know, to win a Swinton, you've really got to know the time of day as far as jumping and travelling, and so he'll be battle hardened, and he won't be let down on that front tomorrow. But I think Blazer, like I mentioned before, I was in the studio when he won last week, and the way he travelled through the race, you know, Barry Geraghty, he was able to cover a bit of ground on him. He was sort of 4 or 5 deep all the way around because he could afford to be, and the way he ranged up going to the last, Barry was in no hurry to get there, because as soon as he did get to the front, this horse started to lug and hang, and you can see Barry had an awful job just to keep him off the fence, but seemed to win with a stack in hand. But like I did mention before, he's had to run 2 mile in bad ground and jump 8 flights of hurdles a week ago, so it doesn't matter how much you look to be finishing with, it's going to take its toll. But he's £7 well in. Barry's getting down to 10-4, but I'm sure it was a nightmare for him to pick between all the JP, the 5 runners, especially with Modus. I mean, because Modus is coming here in real proper good health, and the Nicholls team have had a much better week this week. A good, real good day yesterday. The only thing the Nicholls team aren't doing this year, for me, they're not, I won't say they're not turning up on the Saturday, but it's just got that competitive with your Dan Skeltons and your Ben Paulings, and you know, it's just it, but the stats don't lie, he's still well there, but because the horses are winning the races through the week, you know, I won't say the bread and butter stuff, but just not the graded races on the Saturday, the prize money is you know, is could be better, but you know, he's still on top. But definitely Yard are in much better order at the minute than what they have been sort of over the Christmas period. But I don't know, very, very, like I say, ultra competitive, but the 10-4 Geraghty thing, and I think it was a real, real late declaration, so he's obviously left it to the very last second to decide. It would probably make me lean towards him.
Okay, just leaning towards Blazer then in a particularly tricky race, to be fair. As usual, Paddy, let's just have a little bit of a summary before you go, if you'll just spin us through your four selections for Saturday one more time.
Yep, the 150 was going to go with Neil King, Zero Shades of Grey. I think he liked the track, he's got plenty of weight, but he was the one for me in that. The 225, disappointing race really for grade 2, and I can't see much pace in this race. It's could be a little bit tactical, but I was taking a risk here and probably small stakes at Bob Ford at a price. And then the 3 o'clock, I thought Lammy Surge was great value, Mark. I could be wrong, because you know, Dodging Bullets is obviously a very high quality horse, but probably, you know, pros and cons, there's a lot more pros to Lammy Surge than cons at the minute, and I thought he was great value at 92 for me.
5-1 in fact.
Yeah, 5-1. I just thought 4-6 was it was too skimpy for Dodging Bullets after you know, his first run back since the Queen Mother. And then my selection in the Betfair Hurdle, very, very wide open. I mean, it probably isn't great value at 7-2, but all the runners that JP has got in it, Barry's getting down to 10-4. I think it's this horse, £7 well in. It's very attractive, there's no doubt, and I probably would go Blazer.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Paddy. It's been a pleasure speaking to you again. Good luck and enjoy on Saturday.
Goodbye, Mark. Thanks a lot.
So there you go, the thoughts of Paddy Aspel on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:50 PM. He'll be in the studio with Darren Owen and Ollie Pimlott. We've got this good card at Newbury. We've also got some top-class racing at Warwick. There's good jumping at Goram Park over in Ireland as well. There's also two all-weather meetings, Lingfield in the afternoon and Wolverhampton in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.